You're listening to the Awesome Podcast Network.
Welcome to Geekly Dose. I'm your producer, Jesse Sedgley. And now your hosts, Tim Bridgewater and Stephen Nocentelli.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Geekly Dose, which is, of course, your number one spot for all things geek. That includes comic books, games, movies, etc. My name is Tim Bridgewater. I'm an actor. I'm a screenwriter. You can find me at facebook.com/TimBridgewater1 or TimBridgewater2. And, of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Stephen Nocentelli.
That's right. It's me, Stephen Nocentelli. Of course, if you want to follow me anywhere, you could just go to Twitter at Steve Nocentelli. And I am freezing right now because apparently, and I should have known that in Washington, as opposed to Louisiana, it gets cold in October.
Oh, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm so used to, like, it should be like 80 degrees right now, right? Is that what's going on down there?
So how do you feel about moving away now?
I mean, I still like it. It's not terrible, all right? it's just a little cold. I just have to wear like an extra jacket or something.
For any of you out there who may be wondering what's going on, of course, remember that Steven moved away to Seattle. So, of course, we're coming. We're doing a live Google Hangout session right now to record the podcast. We know that it has been a while since the last episode, but if you're a regular listener, you already know why. We live on two opposite ends of the country, and now it's kind of hard to coordinate schedules and everything to get together. But with that being said, here we are with a brand new episode, so hopefully you're still listening and still subscribed.
Yeah.
So we've got a couple topics that we want to discuss on today's episode. I realized a while back that we had kind of been neglecting video games a little bit. ever since we returned from our huge, like, several-month hiatus, all we did was talk about pretty much like Marvel movies and stuff like that. So
well,
it's time that
they had like a lot of them coming out, like just really all together, you know?
That's true. But we didn't want to neglect our video game fans any longer. So we're going to kind of revisit that a little bit. So Steven will kind of be heading this episode up a little bit more so than me, because that's his area of expertise. So Steven, why don't you tell everyone what we're going to talk about today?
Yeah, sure. Well, we're going to start out the episode with a brief discussion of the new Pokemon games, Pokemon X and Y, which I've been playing and enjoying immensely. Then we will go into a little bit of Batman Arkham Origins, because it looks interesting, and I'm not sure if I'm going to get it yet, but maybe I'll change my mind. Then we will skew a little bit away from video games briefly to talk about the whole Marvel and DC TV show thing going on, because apparently there's a lot of plans for a lot of shows, and probably none of them will happen. And then we're going to end the episode talking about the biggest game of the year, Grand Theft Auto V.
Yes, which we both have, so we can give our thoughts and opinions on that. Let's just get into it. Well, actually, sorry, before we get into it, just a little, we're going to catch up a little bit on what's been going on lately. In case anyone hasn't noticed, over at awesomepods.com, as well as facebook.com/awesomepodcastnetwork, there is a new podcast that has surfaced, and that is a brand new podcast that I do called Republic City Report. It's a Legend of Korra podcast. So Steven and I have actually talked about the Legend of Korra on previous episodes of Geekly Dose. If you're a fan of that or a fan of Avatar The Last Airbender, you probably already watched that show. So there's a podcast that I do that's revolves solely around that. It's about 30 minutes. I do an episode every time they air an episode weekly. So if you're a fan of that and you want to get into it and check it out and everything, just head over to awesomepods.com and find the link there for that. Sure. It's sort of a fan feedback sort of podcast. I read emails every episode. We discuss things. We talk about theories, et cetera, and everything like that. So,
And I know they just aired like an hour long special. So you must have a pretty big episode coming up.
They did. And actually, before we started recording this, I recorded the first part of that, because I'm going to do, it's two episodes of the show, so I'm going to record two podcast episodes, and I've already recorded the first one.
Okay.
So I've been doing a lot of talking the past like 2 hours.
Sure.
So I'm going to let Steven do most of the talking this episode. But yes, and after we're done recording this, I'm going to go and record the next episode.
Oh, goodness gracious. Give yourself a break. Are you going to release them at the same time? Or
I will. Yeah, they're going to be. I mean, I'm going to send them to Jesse. Once again, our producer, Jesse, isn't here. He's here in spirit, but not physically. Yeah, I'm going to send them over to him. And I'm sure I'll just ask him to put them both up at the same time. You know, so that way everyone can have and they can just talk about it, et cetera.
Sure. Could you be somewhere physically but not spiritually? I guess if you just were,
you know,
like...
You know, people never reference that aspect of it.
Yeah.
It's always like, oh, he's here with us spiritually, though, in spirit.
Yeah, he's not here.
I just
physically
want to hear somebody say, you know what, he's here physically but not mentally or spiritually.
No, he's kind of glazed over. He's like just sitting on the couch staring at a wall.
maybe that's what crazy people are. They're just there physically.
They're just there physically. Yeah,
we're all a little crazy though, aren't we?
Yes.
Woo. Another thing I kind of want to talk about a little bit is that I'm in the process of playing Beyond Two Souls right now.
Oh yes, of course.
I mean, as well as Grand Theft Auto 5, I mean, we'll get into more of that later. I'm still playing that game because it's freaking huge and long, but it's such a long, huge game that you can actually just start playing a completely new game in the middle of that and then go back to it. Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. I forgot that this game was even out. Like, Jesse just sent a message out one day to me and Trey from Age Revisited saying, I'm done with Beyond Two Souls if anybody wants to borrow it. And I'm like, damn, I fucking forgot that game was out, you know, like I've been so preoccupied. I just moved into a new place and I've been doing this other podcast and it's just been busy as hell. So, but yes, I'm playing that, you know, once again, from the makers of Heavy Rain, Quantic Dream, the newest game. It's pretty awesome. Has Ellen Page and Willem Dafoe in it. I mean, playing, you know, their faces and everything, not just their voices, their actual faces.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. I mean, it's definitely a cool experience.
So you're liking it?
I am. I'm enjoying it. I mean,
because I've heard mixed things.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard.
What have you heard?
Well, I think the main complaint a lot of people have with the game is, and I haven't played it, so I don't know for sure. But a lot of people complain that it's too much like a movie and not enough like a game. Like the choices you make, like you really don't have choice when it comes to the way certain things unfold, and that like a lot of the time you're not really participating as much as you're just kind of like watching it. But I don't know for sure, but I know that some reviewers have been complaining about the lack of the gameness of it.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I mean, at this point, I do feel like there's probably a lot less actual user gameplay than Heavy Rain.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is. I mean, there's still plenty of stuff, but it's like I find that the game's very easy, you know, and apparently you can't die in it or something like that. Like, I don't know what happens. I think you just start over if you mess something up, because I heard that there's no like game over screen or anything. And from what I understand, it's not like Heavy Rain to where, because in Heavy Rain you play with multiple characters. So you could actually die with one of them and then he would just be dead and the rest of them would continue. But in Heavy Rain, you only play with Ellen Page. So I guess it's like if you die, then the game would just stop. But, you know, so you can't die, but it's not that hard. But it's a cool game. You know, it's a cool concept. I won't spoil anything. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm sure if you're a gamer, you already know about it. Maybe
How
I'll
far
do,
in
an
do
actual,
you think you are?
I mean, probably halfway or a little further, because I've been kind of flying through it, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a cool experience. I may do a review on it or something like once I'm done. But yeah, Beyond Two Souls, check it out. If you liked Heavy Rain, you'll like this. I don't know if you'll like it as much, but you'll like it to some extent, you know. So that's about it with that. Anything been going on with you lately? Anything additional that we've missed out in the past couple weeks?
Wow, with me? I mean, not really. Obviously, I've been playing a lot of Grand Theft Auto. I've been playing Pokemon since it came out. I don't really talk about my personal life like on the podcast at all, but I started a new job recently, and it's kind of been taking up a lot of my time. So I haven't really had a lot of chance to... Like, for instance, I have not watched The Legend of Korra's new episodes yet, so I haven't even had a chance to listen to Tim's podcast about it. But I'm sure it's deliciously good, and you should listen, everybody.
And by the time you do catch up with it, like, you're not gonna feel like going back and listening to like 12 episodes.
Well, you never know. I mean, it depends on how I watch it. You know, like if I can watch like one episode at a time, I could like do an episode in a podcast as opposed to, I don't know. If it's like some kind of weird situation where I have to watch like a bunch at once, then I probably wouldn't go back and listen to a bunch of podcasts, but we'll see how it ends up.
But if you did it one at a time, you'd probably do it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Do you know if is the first season on Netflix?
The first season is not on Netflix.
Okay. I'll have to probably get it on DVD.
The first season was on Nick.com, you know, but they may have taken it down when season two started. But if you recall, and you didn't hear this from me, okay, internet world, but you remember I sent you a link to where you could watch the whole first season in HD.
Yeah.
So just go back and check that thread. Yeah, so I don't recommend anyone. I mean, hey, I didn't put the shit up. I just watched it.
I just need a way to watch the new episodes, all
right? Right. I mean, here's the thing. If Nick.com would just stop bullshitting around and just put all the episodes up in high quality, then people wouldn't have to, like, find other ways of watching it. Because I went back and watched the entire first season before I started my podcast, because the first episode of Republic City Report is just talking about season one of Legend of Korra and talking about the last Airbender series. So I went back and watched the entire first season online, all in high definition, because some guy just uploaded them all to Vimeo, you know? So, yeah, I mean, there you go right there. And for the most part, they're all of episodes of season two are on Nick.com. I think except for the first one, I don't understand why they would do that, but you can find it, basically. Yeah. It wouldn't be that hard.
And I was wondering about the Netflix thing, because the original series is on Netflix, the Avatar, right. The Last Airbender. So I don't know why they wouldn't have the Legend of Korra on there either, but apparently
they
don't.
Well, think about it like this, right? They didn't put The Last Airbender up, I think, until a year or two after that series ended.
Yeah.
You know? So in the meantime, they're going to want you to buy the DVDs. They're going to want you to go to Nick.com and watch the episodes. They're not going to want you to just go to Netflix, you know?
Yeah. So. And, of course, with the original series, I have the... Like the season box sets, the three box sets. Did they release the first season of Korra as one box set, or is it just a bunch of loose DVDs? Do you know?
I don't know. I think, you know what, though? As a matter of fact, you can go to Amazon.com and check that out. If you want to get all your Legend of Korra stuff. I mean, I've been there, and I know for a fact that they have season one on Blu-ray on Amazon. Whether or not it's like a box set, I don't know. Like, since it's a Blu-ray, it might just be one disc, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. But go to awesomepods.com, click on the Amazon link at the top of the page. And if you shop through Amazon through us, that'll really help us out. It doesn't cost you anything additional. So go to awesomepods.com, click on the Amazon link, and go get your Legend of Korra. Steven will be right behind you.
That's right. Pushing people over.
Have you seen Gravity?
I have not watched Gravity, no. I want to really badly, but I haven't had a chance.
So here's the thing, and I'm going to keep this brief.
Yeah.
Go see Gravity.
Everyone, yes, so I've heard.
everyone who's listening to this, if you have not seen Gravity, I'm talking about the movie that's out right now with Sandra Bullock, George Clooney, directed by Alfonso Cuarón. Go see it. And you know something? Anyone who listens to Geekly Dose knows that I am very much against 3D. Because it always sucks. 90% of the time, it's not worth it. It's post-converted bullshit. Go see Gravity in 3D. If you can, see it in IMAX 3D. I didn't see it in IMAX 3D because I was still pretty skeptical. You know, I'm still like, okay, well, I'll at least see it in 3D because I remember watching the trailer in 3D, that brief little teaser that they had, and it looked good. So I was like, this movie's probably going to look pretty good in 3D. Looked fantastic. Amazing. Probably the best use of 3D I've ever seen in a movie.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow.
I mean, this movie is amazing. Amazing. I think it's one of those movies that's just going to, like, just, you know, turn everything on its head. You know what I mean? Like, every space movie after this is going to look at Gravity and be like, we have to somehow top that.
Yeah.
So you definitely want to go see that before it leaves the theater.
Yes. Okay. I need to. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need to figure out when am I off? I'm off tomorrow, actually. Well, I'll figure out. I will see this movie because I want to see it really badly. I just got to put together a couple bucks and drive out to a theater.
It will be well worth the money. I mean, and that's something that I haven't said many times. You know, I spent like $12 and then I got like some nachos and stuff. So I spent like $20 that night at the theater and I don't regret it at all.
Cool.
I mean, I will watch it again. I should watch it again. But very much an awesome experience. So go see Gravity if you haven't had a chance to do that. So at this point, let's just dive on into our main topics.
All right.
And we'll hand it over to Steven when he's gonna tell us about our first subject.
Sure. Well, and I'm sure everybody thought it was just a fad in the 90s, but it has lived on. The Pokemon series continues after, oh, geez, when did I get the first game? I was in, like, 7th grade, and I'm 28 now. So that was a long time ago. But the newest Pokemon games came out just a couple weeks ago, Pokemon X and Pokemon Y. And for the first time ever, it was released simultaneously in all territories across the world. Normally, Japan gets these games like a year, even 2 years before anybody else, which almost ruins... Whenever that happens with any game, it ruins a lot of the experience because by the time it comes out in the States, everything about the game is known already. And there's spoilers and videos everywhere. And it's really easy to, like, accidentally see something you don't want to see about it. But for the first time ever, it was released simultaneously. And it really shows when you go to, like, Bulbapedia is a very popular Pokemon website. And their articles are so incomplete that it's almost shocking. Like, really? They don't have information about this game yet? Oh, it's because it hasn't been out for a year already. And of course, this is the first Pokemon game to be released in 3D, graphics-wise, as opposed to 2D and sprites. And they did a really amazing job. Of course, it's on the Nintendo 3DS. If you're an RPG fan, if you like the Pokemon games, and I know a lot of people do because it already sold 4 million copies in its first 2 days, I highly recommend that you check it out. I've really been enjoying it. I can't do a proper review on it yet because I've only had it for about a week, and so I haven't gotten that far into it. I've only beat the first gym. But I've really been enjoying it. I don't know, Tim, if you've played or been interested in Pokemon at all.
That's one of those franchises I never got into. I mean, I have nothing against it. It was just never anything that seemed remotely interesting to me. Not the cartoon, not the games. I mean, I know a lot of people that did watch it and play the games, and it's some of the best games they've ever played, apparently. But I've never gotten into it. I know absolutely nothing except for Pikachu. Other than that, I can't tell you shit about it. So,
I think. The strongest point to Pokemon's success is how personal the game is to the people that play it. Because it's the only game that I know of, other than some MMORPGs that have been around for a while. I don't know how long World of Warcraft has been out. But when the first two games came out in the 90s, Red and Blue and then Gold and Silver... You know, they were kind of compatible with each other. But then after that, the Game Boy Advance game came out, and it was not compatible. You couldn't trade Pokemon with your older ones. It was just a fresh start for the series. But ever since then, ever since 2003, every game that has come out, you've been able to connect with those older games and the newer games and trade your Pokemon up. So this is one of, if not the only game series that I know of where... You, right now in X and Y, can be using the same characters you used back in 2003. Wow. Same stats. It's one of those things where it's personal to players. Because if you've had, like, your Pikachu since 2003 and you still have him in the newest game and you can still play with him, like, that's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. I know the Mass Effect series... did something similar to where the same Commander Shepard and stories like carry throughout the games if you had the save file on your Xbox and PlayStation. But I think it's a testament to the forward thinking that Game Freak and Nintendo and the Pokemon Company have done, that they said, you know, like, if we continue to make these games compatible with each other, we can save, like, hold on to even those old fans. And and it's, I think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I was just, as you were saying that, I was thinking, the only thing to me that would be kind of comparable to that I'd be pretty excited about would be if there was a new wrestling game that came out and I could somehow use a character that I created back on the Nintendo 64 or something like that, then that would be pretty cool. So I could see how that'd be pretty exciting for people.
Yeah, and it's one of those, like, your collection in these games are, it's unique because a lot of the Pokemon that they've released over the years, they have, like, special events where you can go and download, like, a special Pokemon. So you might have something from, you know, 2004, 2005 that is literally impossible to get now. You know, it's one of a kind. And, you know, that's, it just makes the game more personal. And so it's a much more enjoyable experience. I've played all of the games. I still have my Game Boy Advance games with the Pokemon on there, and I still plan on just pulling everybody up onto X and Y. They announced the Pokemon Bank, which is an online service that they're going to release that will allow you to store up to 3,000 Pokemon on your account, which is pretty amazing because the games currently can only hold a couple, like, I want to say around 700 or 800 on the game itself. Which is not nearly enough because there's already over 700 Pokemon. The only downside so far that I've seen with the game, and like I said, I've been enjoying it immensely. They made a lot of changes for the better. The only downside I see is they only added 61 or 69, I think, new creatures, which is the smallest number they've ever done. They've always added at least 100 or more. And I don't know why they added such a small number of characters. Maybe it just took longer to make the game since it was since it's in 3D and they wanted the simultaneous release and it's a bigger game than any of the other ones have been. But it just seems odd to me that there aren't that many new creatures. But other than that, I highly recommend if you enjoy Pokemon or even if you don't, check out X and Y because since it's transitioned on the 3DS to 3D gameplay, it's definitely a good time right now to jump in if you've never played it before. And, you know, if you haven't or if you have and you want to buy it, of course, you could just go to Amazon.com. Just go to our AwesomePods.com website, click on the Amazon link, and buy Pokemon X and Y. You'll be helping me and you'll be helping you.
That's right. So go ahead and get Pokemon and Legend of Korra, all kind of stuff over at Amazon. Just go to AwesomePods.com, click on the link. You got
That's right.
I won't be doing that because, once again, I'm not interested in Pokemon. That's besides the point.
Well, you need to be. It's weird. It's like the fan base. It's very like either you don't care at all because it was like, oh, it happened in the 90s and it was stupid in the cartoon. Either you don't care or you are diehard. There's no in between.
Yeah, I agree. That is definitely the pattern that I've noticed. And I'm very much on the I don't care side. And it just... I don't know if I could ever cross over. I don't know. You know, it's like one of those things to where, like, it's been going on for so long. If I haven't gotten into it by now, I probably won't, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I can see that. Well, moving on, since Tim is completely uninterested in my Pokemon hobbies, we're going to talk a little bit about Batman Arkham Origins, which is, of course, the new game, and I guess you could call it the Batman Arkham series.
Yeah,
because they had Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Arkham Origins.
Which, you know, is the only reason why they call that game that, because the Arkham, because it's not the origins of Arkham.
No.
You know, that's not what the game is about.
It's apparently so, you know, the origins
they just
of
tied
Batman.
It in for marketing reasons, which makes it sound weird. But yeah.
Right.
So that's coming out on the 25th. We're recording this on the 19th. When they first announced that, I had mixed problems about it because, of course, the first thing you find out if you're someone who pays attention to this kind of stuff,
Rocksteady's not making it.
Right, which most casual gamers aren't.
Yeah.
But people like us, we're going to be like, wait a second, something's different here. Rocksteady's not involved. We got WB Montreal instead. How is that going to affect our experience? Since then, I've kind of gotten over it because, honestly, if you go and just look at some of the gameplay footage and the demos and stuff, you're going to notice that this game looks a lot like Arkham City. I mean, it's supposed to. It takes place in the same time, you know, the same universe, everything. It's just a continuation. It's literally the third game in the series.
Yeah.
It's just made by different people. Now, with that being said, they did take a lot of most of their influence from Rocksteady. I mean, how foolish would it be for them to change that when it's such a proven formula? And we're talking about two of the biggest comic book video games and video games in general of all time.
Sure. You know? And certainly some of the better comic book video games. I mean, a lot of the times when you get like adaptations, either in games or movies or shows, from comics, like it's like, oh, wow, this is a turd. Especially, I don't know what it is about comics and video games where they don't mix that well. Like, you have really crappy Iron Man and Superman games, and, like, I don't get it. But somehow they found a working formula for Batman.
You know what I think it is? The funny thing is that, for specifically with, like, Superman and Iron Man, the more crappy games were based on the movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think there's been one or two Superman games in history that were based on like the comic book, and they weren't as bad, or were they? Not the Superman 64.
I know, but that was based on the cartoon, not the comics. Right. The only ones that I can think of actually based on the comics are like a lot older. Like they had a side-scrolling Superman game based on the Death and Return of Superman for Super Nintendo and Genesis.
And it was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty good. But the fact that you have to go that far back to find a good Superman game, that's kind of telling. You think by now, that was like 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. By now, they should know how to make a good one.
Oh, I definitely agree. Yeah. I mean, and then you look at Iron Man, who, you know, yeah, he had his games, but they were based on the movie, and they all sucked. But every other time we've seen him, it's been all right, you know, and like, wasn't he like in the Marvel vs. Capcom and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, it's something about the movie studios is like, they don't know. They sell their game rights to the wrong production studios.
Maybe.
Because it's like, they don't know enough about it. But the thing about Rocksteady Studios and Batman Arkham franchise is that hopefully that's going to change now, you know? Maybe the next time we actually get a Superman game, it'll be good. Because to my knowledge, there was not a video game made about from Man of Steel, was there?
Maybe?
Yeah, I don't think
so. They came out with like an iPad game.
Console thing. Yeah, because I think they're... Now, normally, there would have been a game with that movie. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, Superman, movie, the game.
Right, and I don't think they... Did they make an Iron Man 2 video game and an Iron Man 3 video game?
I don't know, but they made that crappy first one.
See, but I think that they're learning because of Rocksteady Studios. Mm-hmm. I think they're realizing they can't just put out these shitty games based on these characters because there's a really good, better quality version of it out there.
Well, one thing I can never understand is, like, you have games that are really good where you have powers, like Infamous, you know, or like the prototype games, or you know, you or like Crackdown is really good, the first one anyway. So you have games where you have superpowers that are really, really good, but they're not based on anything. As soon as you base it on something, it just turns to shit, and I don't understand why.
Because you've got all of that canon stuff, you've got all that prior source material history to deal with. You got to try to adapt all of that stuff and keep all your fans without pissing people off. And when you're starting with your own original property, you don't have to worry about any of that. You know, you can give Cole from Infamous the ability to electrocute somebody, and then he can also use this and use that. And it gives you a lot more freedom because you're not being restricted by, you don't have people from Marvel cussing you out. You have people from DC cussing you out. It's your own thing, so you can do what you want. And for some reason, that just makes a better product.
Cussing you out.
And then you have the fans cussing you out.
Yeah.
So, it's totally possible. And all we can hope is that due to these Batman games, that all of these games will start to get better. So, and Arkham Origins, from what I can tell, is going to be another exciting installment in the franchise. I'm definitely going to get it. I haven't pre-ordered it. Just because I feel like I've been spending a lot of money lately. I don't know. But I'm going to get it because, I mean, it's apparently, you know, this is going to be Gotham City, this time. You know, as opposed to Arkham City, we just had that one section of Gotham City.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the entire city, which is apparently like twice the size of Arkham City. And, you know, anyone who's played Arkham City, you can remember how fun it was to just glide across the city and just kind of be able to go wherever you want. You know, imagine that times two, you know, without criminals attacking you nonstop, because obviously they won't be able to do that, you know. Yeah. But
well, they'll still find a way.
But it makes you wonder how they're going to handle that. Because Arkham City, it made sense. Yeah. Right. Arkham City, it made sense because you were in a prison. But if you're just in Gotham City, you know what I think is probably going to be? It's probably going to be more mission-based. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like the old Spider-Man games, to where it's like, oh, there's a crime taking place over there. Somebody's robbing a bank. Batman, go stop them. Yeah. As opposed to there just being random people shooting at you while you're gliding across the sky like in Arkham City.
But then again, Arkham. I mean, it is Gotham, and so that's a pretty dangerous city as it is. Maybe they won't just have random people shooting at you.
It's true, but you know, I don't know. They make it seem like Gotham was not. I mean, Gotham wasn't that terrible of a city. I mean
people live there.
In terms of supervillains, maybe, but you know, this is supposed to be kind of early. That's another thing about this game. It's supposed to be in the first few years of Batman, kind of how his relationships with the Joker established, and I believe the premise is something like, it's Christmas Eve and Black Mask puts a bounty on Batman's head to all these assassins, and he's like, whoever kills the bat before Christmas morning, you know, gets all this money. So he gets all these assassins coming after him, like Deadshot and Deathstroke and Firefly and whoever else. Which I don't know, when I first, that's a little weird too, because I kind of want to see Poison. Like, I mean, I don't know. I want to see the main bad guys, but we have seen the Joker. So, you know, we know he's going to be in there.
Yeah.
We've seen Bane. We know he's going to be in there.
Well, okay. And I mean, like spoilers, I'm sure. Didn't the Joker die at the end of the last game?
Yes.
So do you think that the whole point of it being a prequel is they just needed a way to get the Joker in it?
You know something? I really believe that has something to do with it, because I don't know why else. I mean, there are theories, but that's one advantage WB Montreal does have by making this a prequel, is that they get to include the Joker again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, without the Joker, I don't know if they could have sold this game. I mean, it would kind of feel, it'd be like, well, not only is there different people making it, but the Joker's not in it, and, you know, and et cetera. Now, there's also reason to believe that the reason why Rocksteady didn't make this game is because they're busy working on something bigger, like maybe the next Batman game or a Justice League game or that Ninja Turtles game or something.
Yeah, that was the last rumor about that I heard. With the Ninja Turtles game.
Because I know for a fact that Warner Brothers did not just want Rocksteady to stop making the games. I mean, they made fantastic games. So it can only be because they're in the process of working on something much bigger. Whether that be a follow-up to this Batman game or not, who knows? But a lot of people think that it's going to be the next generation Batman game that they're working on, like the PS4, like whatever that release is going to be. Yeah. I can only imagine how fantastic that'll be.
Yeah, but that'll certainly be interesting. I mean, with the technologies and like with all the games that they've been showing for the next consoles being like huge, huge open worlds, like an actual fully realized Gotham City, because you say it's like twice as large as Arkham City was, but Arkham City wasn't huge, so that still doesn't make it very large, you know?
That's true. And you know, they can't go too big. What they're doing is they're getting bigger with every game, though.
Yeah.
You know, and in the beginning, I think a huge part of the reason why they just put Batman in Arkham Asylum was not only because that would make for a good story with all the villains being in one place. Well, it was also because they could keep him contained without having to explain him being in the city and the Batwing and the Batmobile and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so I think as each game, it'll get bigger.
Yeah. Plus, with the Arkham Asylum thing, when, for instance, the Batwing did make its brief appearance, it made it special, you know? Because it's like, well, how would they get this? You know, like how would the Batmobile work if he's only in Arkham Asylum, and then like, you know, it like drives through the gates. So it's like they can put it in there and it can still be cool without them actually using it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, we're going to get to see all that in this game too. I'm waiting for that game though where we get to drive the Batmobile. Like, I don't think that's going to happen in this game, but I see it happening at some point because they're progressing so much with each game.
Well, if you think, like, if they just keep getting bigger and bigger, eventually you'll have to be able to get around the city faster, you know? Like, if the city becomes huge, which would be awesome, like a full Gotham City, you would need vehicles. Otherwise, you just have Batman, like, slowly running down the street. That's just not going to work out.
It'd be like Grand Theft Auto, but with Batman.
Yeah, he'd be hijacking cars.
Because I don't think we're going to see a fully realized Gotham City, you know, like with traffic and like people, like innocent people walking around. Like, I don't see that happening, because you'd have to be able to explain why Batman can't just punch a random pedestrian in the face.
Well, who says he can't?
But you know they wouldn't let you do that in a Batman game.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
So I think what's going to happen is that, you know,
I'm trying to think of how they did it in the Spider-Man games, because those became open world and they did have pedestrians. Could you attack them?
I don't think you could. Like, I don't remember there being many of them, though, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, definitely not like Grand Theft Auto, where there's just like people everywhere. And,
yeah.
You know, and cars everywhere. But that's a good question. I wonder how they did handle that. I think you would just kind of, you would walk by and they would say, it's Spider-Man, and like, or something, but you couldn't do anything to him, you know?
Yeah, because I know in, like, it's easier in shooting games, they'll just program it so that if you're aiming at something, like a friendly, you just can't shoot.
Right, yeah.
You know, so, I don't know. But it's different when you could just, like, run down the street with, like, your arm extended and clothesline people.
And see, and this is one of the reasons why I'm so interested in this game, because there are aspects like that WB Montreal has to figure out. You know, it has to make sense in the end. You know, you're going to put Batman in Gotham City. The city needs to be alive. But I don't think it will be, because I think part of the reason why they're making it take place on Christmas Eve is so they can rationalize the streets being empty. You know, like, well, everyone's at home with their families. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, it's cold outside, it's snowing, so you're not going to see any pedestrians. But at the same time, you know, it's Christmas Eve, there's going to be some last minute shoppers and stuff, right? So it'd be interesting to see how they handle that, because Infamous handled it pretty well. But on Infamous, you could also hit the random pedestrians too.
Well, that's because in Infamous you had the choice of being either good or evil.
Well, you did, but I mean, like, that helped the game out and made it more realistic, you know? As opposed to being Batman and then you just run up on someone and like you can't do anything. I don't know. It's going to be interesting for sure. Are you going to pick it up?
I mean, of course I will eventually, because the games have been good and I do want to see. I don't think I'll get it like immediately when it comes out. But I will play it eventually. I don't know. I just have this really funny image of just Batman kicking random women on the street. Like, just in the face. Just like a roundhouse kick. Like, I don't know. I mean, they'll have to find a way for you to not be able to attack people, but if you can, it would be hilarious.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. Just throwing batarangs at people's cars, blowing them up.
It'd be nice if they just made, like, an alternate, like, side mission or something to where you could be, you know, a villain as Batman, you know? Like, you do clothesline random people.
Well, maybe. Because I know, obviously, in the last game, they had like a download mission pack where you could play as the Joker. Or was that in the first game? But I'm pretty sure they announced a mission pack where you could play as Deathstroke.
They did, yeah.
Yeah.
If you pre-order at GameStop, I think you get Deathstroke.
But I don't know like how much of the city you would have access to as Deathstroke.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows if it'll be limited to like a specific mission. Like it is with Robin, and if you get the Robin DLC pack for Arkham City, it's kind of like that. And Catwoman, well, Catwoman's more open world, but
yeah,
I guess we'll see. I had another point I wanted to bring up, but I forgot what it was. Oh, okay. Right. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about getting the collector's edition.
Oh, yeah.
Which is $119 at most places. I don't know if, I mean, you look at this, if you're wondering what we're talking about, just Google Batman Arkham Origins Collector's Edition, and there'll be these photos that'll pop up. And one of them is like for the UK, I think, and the other is for the US and everywhere else, I guess. But just to give you an idea of what this thing comes with, you get the game, of course. You also get a premium statue with LED effects. And this is a statue of the Joker, like in front of like a bunch of TVs, like he was kind of an Arkham Asylum. But apparently it lights up and stuff. Beautifully rendered and highly detailed statue. It's about 9x13x11.5. You also get an 80-page full color hardcover art book. Now that, I mean, that's awesome. 80 pages full color hardcover. You also get 2 key pieces of evidence taken directly. Oh, that's useless. That kind of stuff. I mean, it's probably gonna be like a folder or something. Mm-hmm. Like 2 pieces of evidence directly from Gotham City Police Department Crime Lab, a Batman wanted poster, Batwing prototype schematic, Anarchy logo stencil, glow in the dark map of Gotham City.
Wayne Gotham City.
That's a parody. That's a YouTube parody waiting to happen right there. Welcome to Gotham Silly, everyone.
that would be the one where Batman does punch random people on the street.
Wayne family photo. Wow, okay. Assassin's Intel dossier, which includes files on the 8 assassins as well as Black Mask's contract. Wow, that's pretty detailed. Mm-hmm. First appearance Batman skin. Looked just like Batman did during his first appearance in Detective Comics number 27, released in 1939. Deathstroke challenge pack. You get to play as Deathstroke with challenge maps. Okay, so that answers that question.
Yeah. Oh, challenge maps.
Yeah, challenge maps and 2 bonus challenge maps and 2 Deathstroke skins. Bonus, Necessary Evil Supervillains of DC Comics. This new feature-length documentary from DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers focuses on DC Comics' most terrifying villains. Wow.
Well, that sounds cool.
Wow. So you actually get a film that is a documentary on the villains, narrated by Christopher Lee.
Wow.
Yes, yes. Dracula / Darth. Which one was he? Darth?
Tyrannus.
Darth Tyrannus, yeah.
Yeah.
Count Dooku. Yeah, same guy. Also some interviews with Richard Donner, Guillermo del Toro, and Zack Snyder.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I mean, sounds like a lot of cool stuff coming with that.
No soundtrack?
No soundtrack, no.
Huh.
At least not. No, it doesn't say anything about a soundtrack.
They usually put soundtracks on there.
That's true.
But anyway, I know these collector's editions keep getting like more and more elaborate every time something comes out.
They do.
Because I know the last, like, especially like the Call of Duty games always have ridiculous, like they give you functioning night vision goggles or like remote controlled bomb drones. Like, I don't know how they get away. But of course they cost like $200. But people buy it because they're like huge Call of Duty fans. But every time like one of these huge box sets, I know they do it with like Halo and all. They just keep adding more and more. It's only a matter of time before, like, they just give you a brand new car. They're like, oh, you can get the special $20,000 box set that comes with a convertible.
Pre-order Arkham Origins and you'll get the Batmobile itself.
Yeah.
The Batmobile will drive up and deliver the game to you.
Yeah, that's right. The delivery driver will be dressed as Batman.
Okay, well, I'm sure many of you will get Batman Arkham Origins. We will let you know if we pick it up and what our thoughts on that are once it happens. We've got about 6 days or so until it happens. So until then, that's all we have to say about it. Yeah. On to the next topic. What do we got next?
Well, I wanted to briefly discuss and get your thoughts on these Marvel and DC TV shows. Obviously, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. premiered. It's been out for about a month now. And DC Comics has their Arrow show. But there's been some interesting announcements that from both companies. Obviously, on CW, where the Arrow airs, there's going to be an episode that features the Flash, which is supposed to lead into him getting his own spinoff series starring the Flash. Yeah, I don't know which Flash it's going to be, if it's going to be like Barry Allen or Wally West or, you know, whoever. Jay Garrick. Mm-hmm. That would be interesting. But they also announced a Gotham City TV series for, was it Fox?
I think it was
Fox.
Yeah,
I believe it was Fox. But it would be about Commissioner Gordon before, like in the past, like before Batman was around, and it's like him and his, I guess he'd have like a special forces SWAT team or something, like handling these weird crimes. Yeah. I just don't know how they're going to sell a Gotham TV show without any Batman.
Yeah, especially now that I've seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., my hopes aren't that high for it.
Yeah.
I mean, not to switch over to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because we can talk about that too. But you know, because of that, I don't know, I have not been too pleased with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, this is a completely different company. We're talking Marvel versus DC. We're talking about ABC Disney up against Warner Brothers and Fox. I mean, yeah. Completely couldn't be further different on the totem pole. Mm. But it's hard to get excited about it because you know people are going to want to see Batman.
Yeah.
And
well, it's interesting because potentially what you're going to have is a gritty crime drama about cops, which...
And that, it could be good.
Yeah, because it had those types of shows exist, and they have good ones, they have bad ones.
I mean, if it was like Law & Order SVU, but like in Gotham or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I feel like it would have to be really dark.
Yeah.
For it to be interesting. You know, it can't be lighthearted and all playful and stuff like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, like this is Gotham City. This is Commissioner Gordon in his early days. We're dealing with all these crazed people. Hopefully, you know, this will be a very good opportunity for them to like really use like Victor Zsasz and like some people like that are just like insane.
Yeah.
And if they make it really dark, then it probably can just stand on its own as like a gritty mm-hmm. police drama.
And I know there have been rumors, people talking about maybe a young Bruce Wayne might show up, like as a kid. Like maybe part of the show would be Gordon trying to solve the Wayne's murder. You know, like that would happen in the show. Like his parents would get killed.
I feel like it would have to.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like they have to include Bruce Wayne or his family to some extent. Yeah. I mean, because especially, you know, Thomas Wayne is the biggest, most powerful, influential figure in Gotham City.
Yeah.
So at the very least, we need to see him.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe if we don't get to see Bruce or Batman, we definitely better see Thomas and Martha Wayne to some extent.
I think what we're going to get in the first like season is, you know, the Wayne's brothers.
That's their spinoff sitcom right there.
Yeah, no, you're going to get the Wayne's family, all like 12 of the siblings. But, you know, Thomas and Martha, like, you know, being, you know, rich and affluent. And I think at some point they're going to get murdered. And I think that's going to be one of the main threads throughout the entire series is the fact that, you know, somebody killed the most powerful family in Gotham. And, you know, they're out trying to find them. One thing I really am kind of hoping, even though it might turn off some people, but it works in shows like Mad Men, for instance. It would be interesting if it took place in the 70s or 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that would be really interesting. Like, if it was also a period piece. Like, it's a gritty crime drama, but it's in the 70s. And it's about Gotham.
Yeah. The weird thing about that is that Batman doesn't have a specific time. You know, like, he's so timeless. I mean,
I know, but
like, in an animated series... is arguably that took place in like the 50s.
It had like Art Deco thing going.
And so I think if they did it like that, it'd be cool.
Like a child Bruce Wayne in 2013. Like it would have to be in the past, right?
Yeah, like with iPhones and shit, that would be better, wouldn't it?
That wouldn't work.
Yeah, it's gotta have that kind of like, I agree. Like they should have that kind of dated sort of old school, like 80s or 70s or even 50s type of vibe to it.
Because you can't tell people that the show takes place in modern times, but Batman's not around because he's still a kid.
Another question. Do you think they would be expecting this to tie in with the movies, with the new Batman is Ben Affleck? Because if they do, then it will have to take place in like the 70s and 80s.
That's true. And I wouldn't be surprised, because if you think about the fact that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., obviously Marvel wants to do this one universe throughout all of its movies and TV shows. And so I wouldn't be surprised if DC, you know, wants to do that too, because they want to do it with their movies. I don't know where that puts Arrow and The Flash, if The Flash does end up being picked up as a series.
And then there's that.
But I don't know. But another interesting piece of news that I wanted to get your opinion on, because I don't know if you know about this, but Marvel, and not necessarily with ABC or Disney, but Marvel has announced that they're shopping around 4 TV shows and a miniseries, and they're looking for a 60-episode commitment from a company. And rumors going around that it could be any network, maybe even on Netflix or Amazon, but Marvel is looking to sell 4 new TV shows within the next couple of years.
Yeah, I did hear about that. And my initial thought was, damn it, Marvel, just stop, because you're starting to piss me off. But my second thought was, the fact that it can be on any network, including Netflix, that's kind of exciting, because then it makes you wonder, then you say, well, maybe we can actually get to see like Punisher. You know, like maybe we can get some of the R-rated Marvel stuff.
Yeah. Blade, like if it's on Netflix or if it's on like HBO. What if HBO or Showtime picked it up?
Right, because now Marvel Studios has regained Blade. You know, I forgot who was making that.
It was like New Line Cinema, I think.
Yeah. But Marvel has the rights to Blade back, so if they wanted to do like a reboot of that, completely R-rated as a TV series or something, they could do that. Punisher. You know, just whoever else they have that they'll probably never make a movie about. You know, we can use this opportunity to see some of the darker aspects of Marvel. But with that being said, I still don't think they're going to do that.
Because you're going to get like
they're
like
owned by Disney.
But yeah, are you going to get like 5 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV shows?
Right, like each member of S.H.I.E.L.D., of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are going to get their own spinoff, and I'm going to shoot myself in the fucking head. Listen, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like I said, with Disney ultimately pulling the strings on this thing, they're going to be trying to make these things as watered down and kid friendly as they can, which is one of the major problems with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And so I don't know what to think about that. I mean, it's exciting, but I brought this up on an older episode of Geeklydose, where I said that one of my biggest fears of Disney owning Marvel is that they will just oversaturate the market with all this shit. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
We're going to have cartoons everywhere. We're going to have TV shows.
And now they own
Star
Wars.
And we're going to get the same thing with that.
Yep.
You know, and it's like there's something to be said about having to wait to see something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it becomes more valuable when there's not as much of it.
Yeah. Because
once you see it everywhere, it's not worth as much.
Disney has already said that they fully plan on releasing a new Star Wars movie every year or every other year. You know, like, they fully plan on it, doing spin-off movies and side stories. They want a new Star Wars movie every year. Can you imagine
that's
that?
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
That is kind of ridiculous.
I don't want that much Star Wars in my life.
I know, after a while, it's just going to get... It's not going to be special anymore. And one of the things that makes the Marvel movies so good is the fact that, you know, there's a superhero in it that it's about.
Yeah.
You know, like,
instead of just regular fucking agents.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of potential for that show. Have you been watching it?
I actually have not.
I wouldn't. It's not very good.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing particularly interesting about any of these agents. The most interesting person on the show is probably this girl who's not even a member of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's kind of like a hacker. She works for one of those, you know, like anti-establishment groups, but she kind of gets recruited by S.H.I.E.L.D. and she's probably the only interesting one on there. With that being said, even Coulson isn't interesting. You know, I was listening to the Screen Rant podcast the other day, and they were talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And one of the things they mentioned is that, in their opinion, due to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the character of Agent Coulson is becoming a lot less cool. Mm. And I agree. Because part of the reason why he was so cool is because he would pop up in every movie. He would say some funny things. He would come in at the last second and do something cool. On this show, he's not like that because he's the boss. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just a different dynamic. It's different when he's working for Nick Fury than when he's the head guy because he's not as lighthearted because he has to be in charge.
So and
because
do
of
you
that,
think
it hurts his character.
Do you think he should have stayed dead?
Yes. Especially if they were only going to bring him back for the sole purpose of making extra money and try to, you know, give us some kind of bullshit excuse as to why he's still alive. And I haven't seen the most recent episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I'm pretty sure they still haven't revealed how he survived yet. Now, they addressed it. He thinks, Coulson is under the impression that he was taken off to some island to recuperate and he came back. But they alluded to the fact that that's what they told him, but that's not the truth. So there's still this whole aspect of, well, you know, why is Coulson still alive? But just judging by the pace that this show is going at, it's not going to be remotely interesting. That show is just it's just like any other show on ABC. You know, there's nothing special about it. It doesn't have to be S.H.I.E.L.D. It doesn't have to be Marvel. It could very well be a very generic sort of like cop drama.
It's been getting pretty good ratings.
It has?
Well, I know it premiered like number one in the ratings.
Okay. But after that, the ratings have dropped like every week.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, the premiere, of course, got a bunch of views and ratings, you know? And they even did a little thing at the end of one episode where Nick Fury showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
Sam Jackson, in the flesh?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, that was cool. But, of course, it was at the very end, and it was like for 1 minute and one little scene. It was basically him bitching out Coulson, you know. But that was it. And other than that, you know, they kind of mention, they allude to the Avengers every now and then. Like someone would say, well, ever since Thor showed up, this has been going on. But it just doesn't feel like it's in the same universe, you know? Like, it feels like they're just mentioning these characters that don't even really exist in their world.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a different tone. It just doesn't feel... I don't like it. But with that being said, I'm still going to watch it. Because you can't help but wonder if something really cool is going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
Like Iron Man showing up or something. Like, I'm going to watch it just for that.
Well, you have
Other
to think
that,
that
show is pretty uninteresting.
They're kind of backing themselves into a corner with the show, because the longer they go without a superhero showing up, the more people are going to stop watching. You know?
I agree. Yeah.
And so they're going to have to do something eventually to where it's like, wait, hold on, superheroes do exist. It's not just these agents. You know, like...
Yeah,
maybe it's gonna be in the finale of the season, but they're gonna have to do something, because if they go a whole season where no superhero shows up, people just won't care anymore.
Right, especially now that the show has been on for a couple episodes and there's nothing interesting about the characters that are on there, they're gonna have to bring someone else in. You know, they like I said, they already brought in Nick Fury, so don't. Don't be surprised if Disney and Marvel and ABC are just like grasping for straws and trying to figure out whatever they can, because apparently the entire season hasn't even been shot yet, I don't think.
Really?
Like, I think they're still shooting it now.
I know they ordered the whole season run.
Which there is no logical reason why they should have done that.
Well,
other than the fact that they, like you said, they back themselves into a corner. If they cancel it now, it's going to be like, well, how is this going to affect the movies? Are we going to pretend like this shit didn't happen at all? Are we going to pretend like Coulson is still actually really dead? So it's like they have to finish it now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it won't make any sense.
I think the one thing that the show has going for it is how much money Disney has. because if they really, really, really need like Iron Man to show up, they could pay a lot of money for him to show up.
And that's true. And I really think at this point, that's probably the only thing they're going to be able to do to save that show.
Yeah.
Because these characters couldn't be any less interesting. I mean, there's some potential with this two fit. There's Agent Fitz and Agent Simmons, and they call him mm-hmm. Agent Fitzsimmons. They're kind of, because they work together on a lot of things, and I think they're British, or no, maybe they're Scottish or Irish, one of those.
They have an accent, is what you're saying.
Right. They're kind of funny. They're kind of funny, but they get really deep into the techno babble, and it's just like, why am I even watching this show?
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, but if you really just want to give it a shot, check it out. But I wouldn't recommend it.
Mm.
You know?
Wow. Wow. Well, there you have it, folks.
And you mentioned Arrow. Have you been watching
yes.
that?
No, I haven't been watching any of these shows.
Okay. I actually... I just noticed that Arrow, the first season, is on Netflix.
I know. I'm going to start watching it. Yeah, I've heard it's decent.
I did, actually. I put it in my queue,
yeah.
And I've heard that it's actually a pretty good show.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch it.
But you have a show where people don't have powers. You know, like Deathstroke is in it at some point also, but, you know, he doesn't have a superpower. But then, and nobody really wears costumes, but then you have... The Flash, who's supposed to show up in full red suit costume, you know,
they're going to be introducing powers all of a sudden.
Yeah, and he's going to get a spinoff show, and how's that going to work? Because The Flash has had a show in the past, and it was okay, but it also only lasted like 5 episodes.
Yeah, so, it's just weird. I don't know what's going to happen because, you know, and then everyone's going to be wondering if those shows are going to tie into the new expanded film
movies.
Universe,
yeah, because
which they probably won't.
But then you have The Flash and Green Arrow, who are like main characters in the Justice League comics.
You're right.
But like they're not in the movies, or like either they won't be in the movies because they're in the shows, or you're just going to have two versions of them and it's going to confuse people.
And that's what I think is going to happen. Because these actors, the actors that they're going to cast for these TV shows are not the same actors they would cast in the big budget movie. It's just not. Yeah. You know, and they're not going to bring those people to the big screen. They're going to go and find someone completely new, some A-list celebrity or someone who's a little bit lesser known in general, like Henry Cavill,
mm-hmm.
and bring them in there. So it's not going to even be, it can't be, because right now in Arrow, they would have to be somehow addressing Superman and everything that's happening in Metropolis. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
if they haven't already addressed it, then they can't now because it just won't make any sense.
Yeah.
So, oh, Marvel and DC, you guys are fucking up. Because please just stick to the movies, because things were so much more simple when you were just making movies. And now you're trying to make TV shows and stuff, and it's just not working.
Hey, you know? if Marvel and Disney have their way, they're going to have 5 TV shows going. And a miniseries, apparently, they ordered.
Well, they better have nothing to do with the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just let them be something completely out of the box, completely different story. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what other characters does Marvel still have the rights to that's like a big franchise. They don't have X-Men. They don't have Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, is there any other big Marvel franchise that I'm missing? Fantastic Four, but they're making that into a movie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Actually, they don't have the rights to Fantastic Four either.
No, they don't. No.
No, Fox still has that.
But when it comes to TV shows, you know, that's obviously like you could get lesser known characters. Like maybe they'll have like a Luke Cage and Iron Fist show, or you know, like you said, Punisher on Showtime, or you know, something like trying to think of like someone that would be interesting but is also just like a lesser character. But I mean, the problem also is if you have 5 TV shows and they're all on different networks, will they tie into each other and the movies? Because maybe the Fox network doesn't want ABC to get ratings, and so they don't want their show to tie in to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know?
Yeah, I just don't understand. I mean, it'll, at the very least, it'll be interesting to see what their plan is for this.
Yeah.
And how it's going to turn out, because it's just right now I don't see a way how that it'll work. I mean, I really don't see a way that it'll work. But I mean, it'd be interesting. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out.
All right, well.
All right, what else do we have on the list?
Moving on, our final topic of the day, biggest game of the year. And I'm sure we're going to have spoilers in the conversation because, according to the sales figures, every single person living on the planet has played and bought Grand Theft Auto V. Apparently, wow. It already surpassed $1 billion in sales in like 5 days. Broke records. It broke like 5 records in the first 24 hours. If you haven't played this game, you're actually a minority. So, so there's that. But yeah, Grand Theft Auto V, a little game, maybe you haven't heard of it, came out. And, yeah, it's really, really good. It deserves all of its accolades and all of the money. I mean, it's surprisingly, and like, I played part 4 and it lost me like halfway through. But
me too.
Grand Theft Auto V has not done that. No, it's been smooth sailing all the way. Well, almost smooth sailing. One of the main things I really want to talk about is Grand Theft Auto Online. I've been playing it since it started. Surprisingly, I've not lost anything in the process. I don't know how much of it you've actually played, Tim.
Just the one night I played with you and Jesse. That's it.
Okay. Well, the game Grand Theft Auto Online, it's been plagued with glitches, bad servers, people losing characters and vehicles and money, and like there's been so many problems. And you would think with all the money Rockstar got from this game, and they had 2 weeks like that the game was out that online wasn't out, so they knew how many people bought it, you know. they should have at some point figured out a way to, because it really felt like it felt more like a beta than a release for a game.
Yeah.
but it was apparently. They claim the newest patches that they came out with a patch just yesterday, actually, is supposed to fix a lot of issues. And Rockstar, as an apology, is going to give everybody that's played in the month of October $500,000 in the game. Like, it's just going to, like, pop up in your bank account. I don't know if that's a sufficient enough apology. It certainly would be enough to, you know, for you to buy anything, any cars or apartments that you lost in the process of all of its faults. But surprisingly, I have not experienced any major technical issues with my character. I still have the same character that I created on the day that it launched. And I've been enjoying Grand Theft Auto Online. Like, it's good. When you get past all of its faults, all of its bugs, conceptually, it is really, really good. And it's really fascinating because you've got 16 people running around now that the servers can handle it, this open world, and it really does kind of just chaos. As soon as you take away the rules of normal society, you just have a bunch of people randomly running up and killing you.
Yeah, that was my experience. Like, in my first 10 minutes in the game, a guy chased me down and just shot me.
Fair enough. I think there's something interesting when you think about because of like the mindset people get in when they play video games. You know, either you fight or you do something together, like a mission together. In any game that's multiplayer, that's just the way it is. And so at any point in online, if you run into a random person, there's like that couple seconds of hesitation where you're like, is he gonna kill me or not? You know, like, and so you have to, like, there's a mental battle. If I kill him first, then that's good. But if he doesn't want to kill me, then I'm being an asshole for killing him because right. I don't want to kill him, but I don't want to die. And so there's, and so you end up with, like, this weird standoff where, like, for a couple seconds, you're just going to, like, stare at each other.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll get shot and maybe you won't.
That did happen once. Like, I was just, like, walking down the street and this guy just pulled up next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he just sat there for a minute, and I sat there for a minute, and then he just backed up and drove away. I was like, oh, phew. I thought we was going to have a gunfight here.
Yeah. And I remember once, like, literally, they had these two people flying around in a helicopter, and they, like, flew down and they shot me, and I was like, all right, that's fine. But it got to the point where I had to, like, just stop playing and, like, get into a different server because, the whole time I was playing, they just were, like, kept following me and killing me. Like, I couldn't do anything. I wanted to get a jet from the military base, but they killed me before I could do it. I tried like driving away in a boat, but they were in a helicopter, and because they were in a helicopter, there was nothing I could do to get away from them. Wow. It was ridiculous. But I mean, that's like just a pain in the ass. I don't know. I think it just like it brings. Maybe that's just the true nature of people. You know, maybe.
Well, you know what? Now you have a crew with the Geekly Dose crew.
That's right. If anybody listening wants to play with us, you know, you could play with us and get, you know, ask us questions about any games or shows, talk about the podcast. All you have to do is go to Grand Theft Auto's website, The Social Club, and look for the crew Geekly Dose podcast. It is open. Anyone can join. All you have to do is click to join. You don't have to like apply. There's no approval process. You could just join up and it's completely free. And next time you get online, you can play with one of us.
And you know, after 30 plus episodes, you've been dying to get into a match with one of us.
That's right. You can
all the all the shit we talk on this podcast. I'm sure there's some people out there that really want to shoot us in a video game. Right. Here's
like, your what chance. Do you mean? What do you mean you don't like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? They just shoot you with a rocket.
Yeah, so yeah. Just do that. And if and a matter of fact, once you do that, go ahead and send us an email at geeklydose@gmail.com. And we can try to organize some type of a organized night where Jesse and I can get in there and we can have some fun.
Yeah, we'll play, you know, we can do races. We're all on PS3,
though, by the way.
Yes, yeah. I will say the three of us own it on PS3. The crew is open technically for any platform, also mm-hmm. Xbox. But we own it for PS3. But yeah, definitely if we get some members in there and they want to play with us, the three, you know, me, Tim, Jesse, we'll find a night where we could play for a couple hours, get people in, talk about things, drive cars, racing, shoot each other, whatever you want to do. I think it would be really, really fun to get to, you know, do something with the fans, especially in the safe environment of my living room. I don't have to worry about like going out in the wild and actually getting killed. I get just killed in the game, you know?
Yeah. I need to practice, man, because the other night when I played with you guys, I pretty much lost every single event that we did. But in my defense,
it was the first time you played.
Right. And not only that, the last time I played the game, like I literally just got Trevor in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people have been talking about him for weeks and I'm like, oh, I haven't gotten him yet. Like, that's how behind I am.
Wow.
Okay. So I'm still making my way through the story mode. Like I've got a lot of stuff left to do. And it's honestly kind of been hurting my experience because when I get in there, I like to explore.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I think the experience isn't as good. Like I'm not getting to enjoy the story mode as much because I'm forgetting stuff. Like I forgot that we met Trevor at the very beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And you know, it's weird, but I'm about to just start doing missions back to back to back. So I can just get through it, and then I can go back and do all the other bullshit.
Well, you can tell they ready to play. Even though it's like a huge open world, they very much designed the story, at least, for you to just play through it without breaks, you know? Because a lot of things happen that you have to, like, keep track of, and, you know, the characters get to know each other, and it doesn't really make sense, like, the first time you meet somebody, you're like, oh, hey, you know, and you do a mission together, and then you go, like, a year without talking to them, and then...
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, like, all of a sudden, you do a heist together. Like, it doesn't make sense, but yeah.
Yeah. That's how it's been for me. Because it's so long in between missions that, you know, the stuff just seems weird after a while. It just seems awkward, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm going to get back on that. I'm going to finish Beyond Two Souls. And it's tricky, man, because, you know, Arkham Origins is about to come out. I'm playing Beyond Two Souls. I'm still not done with Grand Theft Auto yet.
You got to get Pokemon.
I got to pick up Pokemon.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a lot of stuff, but it'll be interesting for sure. So once again, head on over to Social Club. Look up the Geekly Dose crew. Join us. Send us an email at geeklydose@gmail.com. Hit us up if you want to organize something. We can all get there together and enjoy some beautiful, beautiful violence.
Sure. And the great thing is if you're in the crew... one of us, you know, we're the three of us are like the top people in the crew rank wise. So if you join the crew, you might just randomly see us playing and you can join us. Like, it doesn't even have to be completely organized. Like, mm-hmm. I play all the time, so you very easily can play a game with me. So it's
Jesse plays a lot too. Yeah. So you'll see Steven and Jesse in there before you see me, but hey, I'll be in there at some point. Keep a lookout for the guy with the dreads. Mm-hmm. And something else. I don't know. I forgot what I'm wearing.
Yeah, so, you know, if we've said, and I'm sure we have, anything that has, you know, made you laugh or offended you, yeah, let us know about it. I'm waiting to get into a game where somebody just, like, bitches at me for not liking Prometheus.
Like, it'll be a drive-by, and they'll be like, Prometheus, motherfucker, and just start shooting.
That's right.
All right, well, I think that about does it for this episode of Geekly Dose.
Yes.
Please take the time out, head over to awesomepods.com. That's something we haven't really talked about yet in detail, is that we actually have a website. I don't think we had the website on the last episode of Geekly Dose. So we have a website now. You know, it's still not filled with a ton of stuff, but right now, at the very least, there's links to all of the podcasts. Some of those being, of course, 80s Revisited. Take a blast of the past with 80s Revisited, where they talk about 80s movies and everything like that. Those guys have surpassed us in episodes, like well beyond us now.
Well, in all fairness, their episodes are shorter and they record like three at a time.
That's true. But with that being said, I love that show. Love those guys, Trey and Daniel, as well as Jesse. They're actually kind of in the middle of their Halloween horror month now. They're talking about nothing but Halloween and horror films and stuff like that. So I'm very much enjoying those. Check those out if you get a chance. There's also Duo Attack, which has been back for a while now. It's a HeroClix podcast. So if you play HeroClix, you can go on there and learn to talk powers and strategy and all that kind of stuff. It's coming back with pretty regular updates now. There's also a trivia podcast called Why Don't You Know This? So, you know, if it's just you and a friend in a car, you're going on a trip somewhere, put it in, do some trivia, battle each other, calculate your scores and everything like that in the end. Our producer, Jesse, also has his own podcast, just kind of like a conversation podcast, just with him, with people in his life.
Yeah, I need to talk to him about getting on one of those episodes.
Yeah, Steven will be doing an episode soon. I've already done one.
I listened to it. I enjoyed it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to learn a lot more about me and what makes me tick and creatively what inspires me, look up the Jesse Sedgley podcast. There's an episode with me as well as some of Jesse's other friends. Of course, you can find all of these. Also, once again, Republic City Report, Legend of Korra. That's me, Tim Bridgewater Bender. You can check that out. All of these can be found on iTunes, well as Stitcher.com. So head over to awesomepods.com and check those out.
Cool.
If you have any questions for me, you want to find out more about me, et cetera, once again, you can find me at facebook.com/TimBridgewater1. You can follow me on Twitter at TimBridgewater1. And
of course, if you want anything, you want to talk about something, play Grand Theft Auto, all you have to do is find me on Twitter. I am at Steve Nocentelli. Or you could just join the Geekly Dose podcast crew on Grand Theft Auto's Social Club website.
Yes, yes, yes. So I guess this is kind of sort of the wrap up
In
some
so.
Way, which we used to do the wrap up before we did all the other stuff. But who cares? You know the drill. We don't know when the next podcast is going to be. We don't know what it's going to be about. But as always, we welcome your suggestions. I mean, if there's something you want us to talk about in particular, geeklydose@gmail.com, we would love to come on here and discuss it for you. And if you guys send us more emails, we'll be a little bit more motivated to get our asses together and make more episodes.
Yeah, well, you know, scheduling also, we have to get together.
Right.
Yeah.
So that about does it for this week, guys. So until next time for Geekly Dose, I'm Tim Bridgewater.
I'm Steven Nocentelli.
Thank you guys, and I'll see you next time for your next dose.
Yeah.
Find this show and more on facebook.com/awesomepods and follow us on Twitter @awesomepods.